as procurement guidelines. These are also posted on the website and open for community feedback. We continue to work on best practices for audit committees. We want to make sure that we cover all possible best practices of other audit committees and have a detailed plan to accomplish them. We will complete the planning work for by the Brussels meeting. We're working on establishing an internal audit function at ICANN. We believe that this will further increase institutional confidence in ICANN, and we plan to have this function set up and functional for the fiscal 2011 year. We received reports from staff on various compliance matters to help ensure that ICANN is fully compliant with all financial laws and regulations. And the Audit Committee also established its annual project plan, which will include a report on management of internal controls at ICANN. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. I wonder if you could just stay in case there are any questions. Are there any questions from the floor or from the rest of the board about the activities of the Audit Committee since their last report? I see none. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And thank you, Rita, for her work in preparing that. Can we come then to the next one? And these are done, as you can see, alphabetically rather than any sense of priority. Let me introduce Dennis Jennings, who's the chairman of the Board Governance Committee. Dennis.
Good morning, and thank you, Peter. The Board Governance Committee is responsible for the internal processes and ensuring that your board works effectively and efficiently. The members are as listed on the slide up there, and I have the honour to chair it. If you go to the next slide. Now, we created and formalised one of the things we've done since Seoul, in the last year, is create and formalize the processes for the board input into the slate for the board chair and vice chair. So we've actually formalized that process quite rigorously so that the process is documented and the selection of the board chair and vice chair comes out of that process. We presented the slate, the list, for board committees and the board leadership, and that was approved at the AGM in Seoul, as you may remember. Would you excuse me for a moment? I left my glasses on the table, and I'm having great difficulty reading that. My apologies. As you get older, you need more than one pair of glasses, and neither works terribly well in various situations. My apologies for that. The Board Governance Committee looks after terms of reference, both for our own committees and for working groups and for other committees. And one of the things that we were asked to do when the Board GAC Joint Working Group was established by the Board was establish the terms of reference for that, which we, of course, did. And an issue that's been around for a long time that, as we saw during the meeting, there's a lot of support from at least some of the community, is addressing the question of the remuneration of the chair and the board. So we have looked at that, and we've recommended to the board that we consider this in more detail, and the board has approved that recommendation. Next slide. As I said, we look after how the board operates, the committee operates. We've developed over the last year standard operating procedures, often known as SOPs, for the various aspects of the committee work, in particular the transition from one committee to the next committee and for the ongoing committee work, so things aren't lost as a new committee comes in place at the AGM and perhaps the chair changes as well. One of the things that the Board Governance Committee has been very keen on over the last couple of years is developing a work plan, not only for its own work, but for all the committees. And this model will be adopted in due course by the Board. So we actually lay out a work plan so that we can plan our work and do things in a measured but reasonably effective way. So we keep updating our committee and the calendar of work. As you know, the board members come from a wide variety of backgrounds and experiences, and one of the things that we've put in place, or just put in place, and you'll see a resolution to more formally develop this, is an induction program and a training program for the board members and for succession for the board and committee leadership. And as I've mentioned before, we've developed processes for working groups. Next slide. We're continuing discussion for the formalisation of the processes for board to staff and board community communications to make sure that communications don't fall into a black hole, that they are properly addressed, they're routed appropriately by the community, and properly handled by ICANN. Nothing gets lost in the bit bucket. We're beginning the development of an executive committee charter, formalising that. The executive committee does very, very little, but it's necessary to be there in case it needs to do things because the board isn't available. So it's a sort of emergency committee to do work on behalf of the board in very selected circumstances. We review our charters, and we're introducing the idea of self-review of the committees, and including the BGC itself. And we've begun drafting a list of the required software, or more accurately, the required set of applications that board members must have in order to participate in the work of the board. And we've begun discussing the rules about board travel to events other than ICANN meetings. And I think that may be it. Is there not? No, it is. That's it. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Dennis. Are there any questions for Dennis as chair of the BGC? Marilyn.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm the chair of the business constituency, but I am speaking in my personal capacity in that role. I have a couple of questions and a comment. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the work that you're doing, and I'd like to applaud the progress you've made on considering remuneration for the board chair, but to say to you and to call on you to accelerate the consideration of establishing at least a fund that allows other board members to be able to actively participate in community-oriented events or where they feel it appropriate to be able to use that funding for compensation or, I know I'm using the wrong term here, but for their time. It is not possible for us as a community to have the support we need from our board today or in the future, if we do not provide proper support. We make such huge demands on the board, and we plan to continue. I do understand some board members present do not feel they can take that remuneration, but I will say to you, I have heard consistent support from the community. So great that you're moving ahead. I expect to see the board compensation of the chair done before June. And I hope to see. Let me go on to another point. I noticed that you're interested in considering providing support for board members to participate in other meetings. While I support that, and I intend to help organize some of those meetings so that the board members can come and participate from the business community, I think we need to think carefully about how we get some rational input from the broad community to give some ideas about where that can be the most effective so that it's not just driven from a perception that we're going to go to particular internet governance-oriented events, perhaps, which are very important, and I strongly support that, but also look at how we might be able to have board members as speakers in some of the business events or other events that are distributed around the world. It makes a real difference to be able to convene the community when we're able to offer a noted speaker, such as someone from the board or from the senior staff. And so finally, I'll go to my last point. The business community understands that it's our responsibility to do more to deepen and broaden the participation and the awareness of business. And we intend to work on that, and we'll look forward to making more demands on your time.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you for the challenge to get this done by June. I'm making absolutely no promises because formal process has to be gone through on the remuneration issues. There are legal issues, governance issues, risk issues, and so on that we need to be very careful about. But thank you for the support of that effort. In terms of travel, the board is in some ways a resource to the community, but the board members already do far too much work, and managing that in a way that is effective for them and for the board and for the community is what we're looking at. Also remember that the speakers for ICANN are the chief executive for ICANN Corporation and the chair for the ICANN board. So we don't want to... So if a board member travels to an event and is expected to speak, then that is something that has to be formally gone through and considered by the chair and so on. There's a formality here that we want to be careful about to make sure that it's clear that no board member is speaking in an ad hoc fashion for ICANN, the corporation, or the community. And your third point has escaped me, but it was probably the most important.
Dennis, let me respond, if I might. I understand your point about speaking for ICANN. It's a delicate balance as well for someone who is in an elected position from a membership organization. But I'm also very aware that each of the board members in and of themselves have an identity in the activities and the larger ecosystem that surrounds ICANN. And sometimes it is good to be there as a presence when one is not so much speaking with a formal agenda, but one is able to just speak about their own activities. So, you know, I think this is something that can be worked out. We certainly understand because we develop formal positions, and when our members are allowed to speak on behalf of the constituency, they must stick to the script. So we certainly understand the challenge.
Right. And your third point you want me to respond to? No, fine. Any other questions?
Dennis, one from over this corner. You might like to report on the other thing that we did last year and which we're going to do again this year, which is the board self-evaluation and the publication soon, I hope, of the results of last year's self-evaluation.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. A very important part of good practice in modern boards is to do a self-review, a self-evaluation of the chair, of the whole board, and of individual board members. The Board Governance Committee last year began to explore this, and during the year, we actually did the first of those. We did an evaluation of the whole board and an evaluation of the chair. We didn't move on to evaluation of individual board members, and that remains something that we may get to in the future. We hope to do this annually, and as Peter said, we hope to publish the results of the two reviews we've done, but we will redact individual personal comments because that would not be appropriate. So we'd hope to get that out within the next month or so. This is a really important part of modern, excellent boards to do this sort of self-review and to act on it. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Dennis. And no further questions? In which case, I'll say thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you
for the work the BGC does. There are no reports from the next two committees. The Compensation Committee meets and works, but the subject matter of that is the senior executive salaries, etc., and there's nothing really to report. And the Executive Committee doesn't meet unless there's an emergency and takes some kind of urgent action. So that brings me to the Finance Committee, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce the chair of that committee, Rajasekhar Ramaraj. Ram, the Finance Committee report, please.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everybody. The Finance Committee report has been published maybe 3 weeks ago, and I hope you've had a chance to read it. But I thought I'll draw your attention to maybe three or four areas there that may be of interest. The first is the budget and operating plan framework. Kevin has been going around meeting with different parts of the community and urging you to please participate and give your inputs. The budget comes up for vote at the Brussels meeting. and we are hoping to have your inputs by then. This is the time to look at activities, priorities, and see whether what you need is actually there in the budget and in the operating plan. Coming to FY10 budget, when we presented it about a year ago, we did mention that we would like to do a mid-year review. There have been some pressures, but the good news is that based on current trends, it looks like that the budget would end on a positive note, that there would be some contributions to the reserve fund, and that staff have moved very quickly to contain costs and take adequate steps. So while the board was requested to release the contingency funds that were planned, and that would get used with the cost containment exercise that is ongoing, we think that the budget, that the plan would be ending on a positive note. So that's the good news, that there would be some contribution, hopefully, to the reserve fund this year too. Steve Crocker mentioned that staff have worked closely with both the audit and finance committees to draw up two documents, the procurement plan and the cost accounting. Both these, I think, will be of great value in increasing transparency and accountability, and the finance committee at the May retreat is looking at seeing how we could enhance reporting to the community. Substantial progress has been made these last couple of years in terms of better reporting functional expense area group, but I think there is ongoing work, and based on community feedback, we're going to spend more time at the May retreat to come up with some more enhancements. On the reserve fund, we have contributed $44 million so far to the reserve fund, and that is now doing well, and at last count was somewhere between $45 and $46 million. So the fund is doing well, too. So overall, FY10 will be positive, and I urge you to contribute to making FY11 plan more meaningful and participative. So thank you.
Thank you, Ram. Questions, Marilyn? Thank you.
So perhaps I should open my comments about explaining why it's me at the mic, since I understand that there's been some social networking comments about the frequency of people going to the microphone. The reason that we see the same people at the microphone, my name is Marilyn Cade, I'm the chair of the BC. The reason we see the same people at the microphone in some cases is because we work within our communities to develop an understanding of issues. And sometimes we assign understanding a particular issue. We sort of delegate work to different groups. So the issue of commenting on the operating plan and the budget is something that I've been doing for some time informally. And I'm bringing an appreciative voice, if I might, Ram, to the board and to the staff for undertaking the balanced work that was needed to ensure that there was the funding necessary to ensure that this meeting went forward. So I would want to just say how much we all appreciate. We knew that was extra work for you, and we appreciate the fact that you did it, and that, and we understand that has had some other implications. Looking ahead, I understand that there are stresses on the budget for the year ahead, and that there are some prioritization decisions yet to be made. We're particularly interested in seeing that there continues to be a focus on ensuring that there's adequate funding for enforcement and compliance. And I understand I need to respond with a clear statement about what I meant earlier in the week when I made that statement. We're very satisfied with the work of the compliance group. However, we also understand, because we know a great deal about the fraud and abuse and the present utilization of domain names, that there's going to be higher demand on that team in the future as we introduce IDNs and we also introduce further new GTLDs. So I wanted to just offer that clarification and say that we think that work is very important, and we also think that the work that you're planning to support further participation in the community is also very important. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. In the framework, one suggestion that has been put as indicative is that there is an increased emphasis on the compliance portion. But if there is some specific areas that we need to focus on that input, this is the time. So thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, Ram. Any further questions about the activities of the Finance Committee? If not, thank you, Ram. And I call upon Harold Alvestrand then to give us the report of the IANA Committee.
Good morning. So the Board IANA Committee is charged with oversight on the work of the IANA, which is really at the heart of what ICANN does. Next slide, please. You can read all this stuff. We had settled down to a system of actually monthly meetings, which is very frequent meetings for a board committee. But IANA is doing some fantastic work, and we feel that in order for the board committee members to have full insight in the work, we really need this. So our schedule is second Tuesday of each month, and once we figure that it's not so exciting anymore, we'll probably meet fewer times. Next slide, please. So we did the work we've done since Seoul, develop a work plan, reviewed what IANA does. Remember, board committees do not control, they oversee. The live disaster recovery exercise, the root zone management rewrite that is in progress, DNSSEC. I mean, this is possibly the most important change we're making to the DNS this year, and it's been going fantastically well for such a deep project. And by the way, today, ICANN.org is signed using the infrastructure, resilient and redundant infrastructure that we designed for the root signing. So if you know about DNSSEC, if you can do something with DNSSEC, go to ICANN.org and see, because now it's live. We also discussed the IANA contracts and how we're going to do about making sure the right thing happens there, and the role of committee in possibly offloading some items from the board plate in reviewing delegation requests. That is, I believe, the end of the report. Questions? I see no questions.
Marilyn, you don't have a question of the chairman of the IANA Committee? That's perfectly all right.
I would just go to the microphone and say, excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No questions of the IANA Committee? Thank you. The next committee on the list alphabetically is the Public Participation Committee, ably chaired by Jean-Jacques Subrenard. So I welcome Jean-Jacques to the podium and ask him to give the report from the PPC.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an experiment. We've heard so much about multitasking, and I was told that the ICANN community, not myself, but the rest of the ICANN community, is capable of multitasking. Let's see if that happens. So, whilst you see these slides, what I say will not necessarily be exactly what you're reading on the screen. Let's see if it works. Well, I think that the one thing I want to underline is that we have set up for public participation an objective for the next at least 1 year or 2 years. And there are four main projects in this work plan. I'll just read them out to you. It is the holistic review of public participation processes. It is also meetings for the next decade. And I'd like to point out that under this chapter, we have started work on reviewing the process which leads to the selection of venues for ICANN international meetings. Third is the distance communication toolkit and systems, because we believe that, whereas it's not at all, of course, the duty nor the possibility of ICANN to develop such tools, we must really vet them and bring to the attention and put at the disposal of the community the best systems available. Here I would like to point out once again that our chairman, when he proposed the setting up of this public participation committee, stated right from the start his ambition that as far as public participation is concerned, ICANN should become a world leader. It'll be up to you to tell us what is lacking on the way, because our ambition is really to get there. And the fourth item or area of main work is the comprehensive outreach and engagement strategy. Perhaps we can change the slide just for the sake of diversity. No, that's a bit too early, sorry. Now, whilst you take note of what's on the screen, I'd like to give you my own take of what do I go away with from Nairobi, from the public participation perspective, of course. First of all, I think that we have placed a strong emphasis this time on developing countries, people from or in developing countries. Also on remote participation tools. I think you noticed that, especially during the public forum, this was used extensively. And from what I was told, including by people who are not in Nairobi, it's that it worked rather well. At the same time, Rob Hogarth, who is managing this part of our meeting of the public forum, told me that at one given point there were 60-something or maybe 70 remote participants, but, he added, about 30 of them were in this hall. So there's nothing wrong with that, of course. I simply want to point out that we still have an effort to do to engage people who are not the usual crowd. The purpose, of course, of public participation is not about numbers. It's not just to have more people. There is a purpose. It is to get people who are really interested in this to be engaged more naturally in the policy development process. But all the same, I think that in order to reach this objective, we have to do a couple of things. One is certainly to advertise upstream of an event in the countries we're aiming at directly. For instance, by press statements, by radio, online, etc. The second thing is that we have to engage more with the local communities well in advance of any ICANN event. And finally, and this is no less important, I'm very much keen to listen to the advice of all the stakeholders of ICANN, including on public participation. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hello, yes, it's Chris Chaplow from andlesear.com. Just to say thank you and underline about the public participation and the outreach, which I think is so important, we got the message across. You might have noticed, I was just chuckling just a second ago, just had an email back from a supplier. I sent out some photographs of this meeting and I sent it to my contacts list, and somebody's come back and said, what exactly is ICANN? It's to do with the internet. Why are you in Nairobi? Are you there to help the animals? So that we still got to get the message across. Thank you.
Point taken. I hope to visit a zoo tomorrow, but I don't know if they're yet interested in the internet. Marilyn.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Marilyn Cade from the business community. I'd like to congratulate ICANN on the significant progress you've made and on your commitment to be world-class in the leadership of outreach and remote participation. I think this is a very important goal, and I think it's something that all of us need to embrace. During the meeting, we were very fortunate to have a member of our business constituency who is a local business leader here in Nairobi, in Kenya, actually, and is the regional vice chair of WITSA, the World IT Services Alliance. And he organized for us an event on Sunday night where we were able to meet with the business community. Several of the board came along to join us for the reception, and we thank you for that. It made a significant impression.
we were able, because of this event, to then continue to have some of the folks who came there to continue to come to the ICANN meeting. We were able to sit down with them, explain the agenda, help them pick out the meetings that would be particularly interesting and relevant to them. I think this is exactly the kind of synergistic work that we need to do in participation. And I hope to start what I call lead-up meetings, where we in the business community will hold a meeting in a couple of regions about 30 to 40 days before each ICANN meeting to meet with the key association leaders and get the word out through their members. So, you know, public participation, I must say that I think of this not so much as public participation, but as enhancing and strengthening the participation in ICANN. Same words, same message, but I want to thank you for your work on that.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Ron.
Jean-Jacques and pardon me, all of the members of the board, I wanted to comment not so much on the fact that we're now more online and we can participate in meetings that may be happening in other rooms or around the world, but as much about the participation in the room. The introduction of the three-minute clock has been a phenomenal success in my view, and I think for many in the community, because now we have an opportunity to force people to succinctly get a message across in a very tight time frame. Yesterday we had three-minute slots, and then the chair took it back to two at one point to make sure more people could speak, and in fact when it went back to 2 minutes, it was even more effective. So I think it's a tremendous step forward for us all. I think a lot of people have things to say. Marilyn mentioned earlier a lot of usual suspects, myself included, find their way to the microphone from time to time. But the idea of having this clock and making sure everybody abides by it, there was a comment by our good friend Katim saying perhaps there could be a larger slot or more time given to certain organizations. I think the legality of all of it, the equality of having a two-minute slot for people to succinctly say what they have to say, I think is phenomenal. I'm leaving 30 seconds on my 2 minutes. I'll sit down.
Thank you, Ron Andruff, representative of the Swiss Watchmakers Association. No, I want to point out that that's a joke.
Jean-Jacques, I wonder if I could just comment on that, because thank you for that feedback, Ron. That's very helpful. The thing that troubles me about that, and this isn't a new idea, but when we the very first meetings of ICANN, when we had a lot of very angry people, sometimes they were on one-minute clocks, and even that, still the line stretched right outside the room. The thing that worries me about a two-minute or a three-minute clock is the burden that that poses on the non-native English speakers. And I can't think of a suitable way of, first of all, assessing someone, then giving, you know, making the discretion as to whether they get two or three or four. But it's just to let you know that I am aware of that. But I think it's just part of the burden of coming to an ICANN meeting where the business is conducted in English.
I agree, Chair. And I think that the reason I came back was because we've had this ever since the scribes have been involved with us for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been excellent because when we've had people speak in their native language, others of us who don't understand that language might have been able to watch it on the screen. So the one thing we might want to review is whether or not we need to have our transcribers or actually people writing here and the translation. That would help solve that problem. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Rob, can you confirm that at this stage there are no questions on public participation? Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Which brings me to another committee doing excellent work in the background, and not a lot of this work can be given in detail for reasons that I'm sure Bruce will go into. Bruce is the chairman of the Risk Committee. Bruce.
Thank you, Peter. I'm going to attempt to read these slides from a distance. Next slide. Okay, I think perhaps one of the first thing to notice of the Risk Committee is the coverage of its members. We have members from the Security and Stability Committee that have expertise in DNS and IP addressing. We have a member from the Root Servers Advisory Committee. We also have representatives, or not representatives, but people with expertise in GTLDs and CCTLDs. And also a breadth of commercial experience. So it's a well-balanced committee that really has deep understanding of both the technical things that ICANN manages, a lot of the stuff that's behind the scenes, like how ICANN manages things like its LRoot and DNSSEC implementation, as well as people that understand some of the more legal and commercial risks that ICANN can be faced with. Next slide. The Risk Committee is meeting mostly face-to-face. So the last we met in the earlier this year in January via teleconference, then we met face-to-face at this meeting. One of the things we're doing is going through a program where we look at the major activities in the organisation and do a bit of a deep dive into some of those risks. And when we do that, we look at both, we tend to have for something like new GTLDs, we might identify, say, 10 major risks, and then for each of those risks, the staff identify what are they going to do to mitigate against that risk. So in January this year, we had a presentation on new GTLDs, and I've also asked the staff to put that in a form that can be shared publicly so that the community has an opportunity to see some of the risks that the organisation is considering and also be able to contribute if there's any risks that the community is concerned that ICANN perhaps is not taking into account. And the other thing that we're refining within the organisation is the enterprise risk management approach, which is common in larger organisations. Where it's a fairly formal methodology that you get the executive staff of the company as a whole together and you identify what the executives as a whole believe are major risks and how they're mitigating against those. And then it's also a culture that goes down into the individual managers of their sections to be able to consciously, at the beginning of a project, identify what the risks will be in achieving that project and how they're going to mitigate those. And the risk committee is really not doing any direct work, the work is being done by the staff, but we're just providing a bit of guidance and identifying perhaps some risks that they may not have thought of. Next slide. So this slide really just identifies that the approach, sort of looking at it on a 1 and 3 year time frame. One of the things that the staff have really initiated themselves is they're forming a risk oversight management team that would be chaired by the CEO, and that team would be able to meet on an ad hoc basis. So if a major risk, let's say we had some sort of new attack that was identified on our DNS or our registry or even our registrars, that committee could meet with the senior executives of ICANN and then make any recommendations to the board on any actions that need to be taken. Next slide. Oops, we seem to be dropping in and out of the audio. So as I said earlier this year in January, we had a look at new GTLDs and also some of the business continuity work. And there's a lot of work that's been put in the last 6 months, particularly with the new CEO, Rod Beckstrom, in improving business continuity. And there was actually a test run fairly recently where a test was assuming that one of the officers, say Marina Del Rey, was out of action for some reason, that they could perform the functions of IANA from a different location. And that was a test that was done with notice and with planning. And then the next step, of course, is to run a test without telling anybody it's going to happen. So they have to get up in the middle of the night and just react to the situation as it unfolds. So we're trying to build the skill up in staff on being able to run functions from a different location and also how they can handle those things when they don't know that an issue is going to occur. At this particular meeting, we delved into DNSSEC in some detail. One of the things with DNSSEC is it's a pretty technical area the staff have done an excellent job in identifying the risks associated with the rollout of DNSSEC and how ICANN manages its business processes for that. And one of the things we're doing there as a starting point is the systems and processes that we put in place for managing the keys and managing our processes within ICANN, we're going to get them externally audited. And the particular audit that we've chosen is called SysTrust as an independent industry audit. And you'll see more of that, and it's part of some of the things we're looking at with the affirmation of commitments, in that we want to be able to ensure that ICANN can hold itself accountable at world's best practice, and we can be independently audited, and we can provide those results to the review teams that form as part of the affirmation of commitments. So it's not just us saying that we think we've done a good job, but we've actually been formally audited by a professional body to show that our processes are at best practice. and we'll gradually be putting that approach through a number of other critical business processes within ICANN. The other topic that we reviewed at this meeting was IDNs as well. So what I hope to do, and as Peter said, sometimes some of the risks are a little sensitive. You know, we don't want to indicate where some of the methods of attack may be, but we will try and share as much as we can publicly with some of the risks that we're monitoring. May not necessarily give you all the information on the mitigation approaches. Now, I'm not sure if there's another slide. If there's any other slide, I'll comment on that. Next slide. We're done. Great. Okay. The other thing that we're looking at is we have identified about 10 risk factors for the organisation as a whole as part of enterprise risk management. We met on those again this week, and one of the things that we did this week is try and align those risk factors with the terminology that we're using in both the strategic plan and in the affirmation of commitments. So, and we'll share those 10 risk factors with the community at a high level, so at least be able to identify how we're managing risk in each of the major activities of the organisation, and we welcome any feedback on both those risks and any other risks that you believe we should take into account. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bruce. Are there questions of the Chair of the Board Risk Committee? If not, we'll come to the last of the Board Committee reports. Thank you, Bruce. This is the Structural Improvements Committee, which was formed out of the Board Governance Committee to take care of the continuing requirement for reviews of ICANN of the company structures. It's chaired by Ray Paulzak. Ray, the report from the SIC.
Thank you, Peter. I guess I direct the slides here. Okay. Here we are. These are the members who we are. We are supported. Our primary support staff is Marco. Next slide. Let's see. Okay. This timeline represents our current status. And the bar going across is the stages or phases of a review. The committee is responsible for the oversight of the work of the independent reviewer and the working groups that are associated with each particular review. We're also responsible for identifying those implementation actions which require board action. And lastly, we are responsible to monitor the progress of the implementation of recommendations. And so as you can see, we have two items that are in the terms of reference preparatory area, and that's the ASO and the TLG. The significant one moving forward, I think, this week is the fact that the RSSAC review, which has been a little bit slowed down, appears to have picked up activity, is going to move forward. We have three working groups, the board, the NOMCOM, and the SSAC, which have basically completed their work. There's a resolution this morning to close out those committees and to move forward into implementation. And then lastly, there are two reviews that are in the implementation phase, that of the ALAC and the GNSO. And so what we have done so far then is received reports, and we've monitored these efforts, and we've begun a dialogue with the BGC with regard to some of the governance issues that are maybe a result of these activities. And so, next slide. What we plan on doing to be able to report back to you by when we next meet in Brussels is that the implementation progress, if you will, of the three groups that we've reviewed, working groups we've closed out. Hopefully, be able to move the ALAC and GNSO much further down the path so we can actually at some point in time get them into the area where we can begin to assess the effects of the work. Hopefully, we'll be able to bring the RSSAC review to a close. And hopefully, we'll be able to move the CCNSO review along a little bit further. You will see hopefully some beginning of work in the TLG, and we are looking at doing reviewer selection in the terms of the ASO. So that's where we are. And with that, I would say asante. And so we'll entertain questions. And I would be sorely disappointed, Marilyn, if I did not hear from you as long as I've known you.
Great, thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. My question has to do with the timeline you presented and at what point you would expect to, or should I look elsewhere, to see the incorporation of the affirmation of commitment reviews. Will they'll be appearing in that same timeline in the future?
This committee has nothing to do with the affirmation of commitment reviews. We are charged with the, if you will, the organizational structure reviews, okay? So there are two people associated with that, and so I would direct any other further comments to one of them who's sitting on the stage, and that's Peter.
I'm happy to do that, and let me explain my question. From the community's point of view, we need to be able to, at a glance, understand the work that we are all doing. So I understand why it's not in your timeline, but what I'm interested in, Chair, is just making the point and then hearing your response about how we're going to be able to, ourselves as the community, kind of broadly understand these parallel review work processes.
Yes, the affirmation reviews are quite distinct from the bylaw reviews. That's the terminology that, we use in-house, if you like. So Ray has been reporting on the bylaw reviews that are required. We are working on how to set up the structure to manage the affirmation reviews, and we are struggling a little bit under the pressure of time. And so there are several tracks going forward of that. One is the selection of the members. The other is trying to get the community to help us set the terms of reference. The other one is the staff and committee support. Rod has made the position on behalf of the staff that he's, and let me paraphrase, Rod, you can correct it. Perfectly delighted to do all the support that's necessary for that work, but very concerned that the independence of the project not be compromised. So we're trying to work out how the staffing of this should occur. And on the other hand, there's a suggestion that the committees themselves, the review teams, once they're formed, should have a role in discussing and providing that support. So we haven't... It's work in progress.
Peter, we have a question from the remote participation.
Can I just finish my follow-up before you, if you don't mind?
Yep. Well, Nancy, we'll come to that. Thank you. Marilyn?
I'm going to offer a personal response to the last point you just made.
Can I suggest we do it at a different time? Let's finish with the SIC report and take any further questions.
Sure.
It's a topic I'm delighted to talk about, but this is not the right place or time. Are there other questions for Ray about the bylaw reviews, about the restructuring of the any of the entities? Well, it's recommendations.
Actually, only one, Ray, and that is I'm looking forward as a business community member, as I'm sure all of you are, to our beginning to close down some of the present work on structural improvements so that we can then reinvest the time and work in the next stage. And I should have paid closer attention, but it's sounding like we're in the stage in some cases of learning a lot from the review processes that we have been doing and then feeding that learning into getting ready for the next stage of the board review work, of the overall structural improvements work. Is that right?
Marilyn, I just love that nice softball question. Yes, in fact, we've already begun some discussion as far as looking at lessons learned from what we've done and how we've done it from a process point of view and looking at what we can do to implement into the next round of reviews. And I can guarantee you they won't be the same as they were last time, that they will be better.
Thank you.
Peter, I believe you had a remote participation question.
Let's go to the remote participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ray, it doesn't refer to the SIC. It was one that has been asked about the PPC. Would you like me to read it now?
So this is the Public Participation Committee?
Correct.
I'm sure Jean-Jacques will be able to respond to that if a question comes in. Yes, please.
Great. It's just a statement, but it's from Jotham Frakes, who apologizes, but the chat was a little slow. He says, this translates into almost, if not more than, a year of time invested before having an opportunity to productively interact with ICANN and participate in the bottom-up process that is available. I appreciate that the board has taken such effort and focus of public participation. I think that we, the community and participants, can bolster those efforts. I'd like to propose that we begin some form of a mentoring program that can help newcomers ramp up more effectively.
Well, Jean-Jacques, would you like to respond? Or?
Thank you, Peter. Yes, that's the kind of thing we are engaging in on the Public Participation Committee. But I'd like to thank Jonathan Frakes for his remark, and we'll get back to him. Thanks.
Well, Ray, you've had the interesting position of two questions, none of which have been about your report. But thank you for the report. If there are no further questions, let's thank the chair of the SIC. Thank you, Ray. I'd just like to close this section by mentioning the staff support for these committees, which has been absolutely excellent. It's largely led and coordinated by Diane Schroeder, who's obviously had enormous experience at ICANN. This is a new role, I think 18 months for Diane, and the expertise and the enthusiasm that she brings to this is really showing itself in the productivity and output from these board committees. So well done, and thank you for that. In general, I can confirm to you that the work of the board committees is far improved over what it was historically. The structure of the committees, I say with all respect, is much more focused now on the work that the board does. We have, for example, consolidated two previous committees, the Conflict of Interest Committee and the Reconsideration Committee, into the Board Governance Committee. And we have other committees that we've set up, as you've seen, focusing on the key activities of ICANN, and that's now working very well. The board is driving real work through and via these committees. It's also providing an excellent opportunity to develop board and other work leadership skills. There's real development in the individuals concerned working on these committees. And I think you're in good hands, and real, as I say, that the output is now coming to be at a very high level. Let me take the opportunity finally of thanking all the committee chairs for the extraordinary amount of work that you put in on top of the other board load that you carry. Chairing these groups is an additional large substantive burden, so my thanks on behalf of the community and myself to you all for that work. Thanks very much. That closes this session, and we move to the next session, which is to have reports from the supporting organisation and advisory committee chairs. So if I could ask board committee chairs to step down and the SO and AC chairs to step up, we'll move into the next phase. Thank you.